give God thanks again for this afternoon, for this opportunity He has given us again to be able to sit and to listen to His Word. Now, I know it might be a challenge for you having had that kind of meal. And I want to thank the ladies for having prepared the quality of food and the quantity of food. I can understand why I was warned that after eating here at Stony Island, it's a challenge for people to listen afterwards because you just want to go home and to savor what you have had.
All right.
So I can understand. So I want you to bear with me because I will just go until midnight. Oh, well, that is as a result of the food. So please understand. It's an important time for us to look at the lesson at hand, which is a sequel, a follow-up to my lesson this morning. As we continue to address the issue of, are you right with God? I think you would agree with me if I were to say that it's one thing to get a different thing to see God. And it is important that we understand the importance of not just being right with God, but also staying right with the Almighty God. And so this afternoon I want to address that particular issue. How can we stay right with God? Because this has become a challenge for Christians. There are many people who are afraid of becoming Christians because they feel like they cannot maintain the Christian life. There are those who have become Christians and are already feeling a sense of inadequacy because they feel like they cannot keep on keeping on. So it's important then that we address the question, how can I stay right with God? And so this afternoon we have the parable of the barren fig tree. And the Bible tells us that the owner came, for 3 years he had been coming, seeking for fruit, and finding none. And then he said, listen, cut it down. It is taking up space. Get rid of it. And the vine dresser said, oh, but my Lord, can you give it just another year? I will fertilize it. I will dig around it. I will give it all the stimulation it needs to grow and to produce fruit. If it doesn't, then by all means, get rid of it. But if it does, then great. I think this is an essential parable for us to understand that when it comes to us as Christians, that God expects certain things of us. And we must be careful that we are not merely existing in the church, but we are making a difference in how we are living our lives. I'm reminded of a little boy who came to his father and said, Dad, I need a quarter. I want a quarter. And his father turned to him and said, son, why do you want a quarter? He said, well, I've been good. And the father said, well, you know, son, in my days, growing up as a boy, we were good for nothing. And it's important that Christians don't become good for nothings, really. That you are here, but you're not making a difference. It is almost a guarantee, brothers and sisters and friends, that they're going to be Christians who will go to their graves, not having made a dent on Christianity, not having made an impression on their society, not having done anything of significance. And so if the truth is going to be told, it will be that they came, they were here, and they are gone, and that's it. Of all of us as Christians, God expects certain things of us. If we are going to stay right in the relationship we have with Him. The Christian then must always keep in mind the warning that Paul gave in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, when he says, wherefore let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. If you do not find yourself doing things that are important within the body of Jesus Christ, it's almost a guarantee that you will fall away. Almost a guarantee. So allow me this afternoon to speak to you on the subject staying right with God. First of all, if we're going to stay right with God, then we are going to have to understand the kind of God that we're dealing with. And based on the parable, the Bible is telling me that God is a God of expectation. God expects certain things of us. Here the Bible says that the owner, who is God, came to the vine dresser and said to the vine dresser, I have been looking for 3 years for fruit and finding none. Cut it down. But look at it. The Bible says that the owner came searching and seeking. In other words, the God that we serve is a God who is constantly looking and searching and expecting fruit from every single one of us as Christians. And therefore, if we are found wanting, if we are found fruitless, then the Bible says that the owner has no other choice but to get rid of that tree. Now, it's important for us to understand that the Bible says in verses 6 and 7 that he has been coming for 3 years seeking fruit. And this is the God that we serve. He keeps on going through the vineyard of the lives of Christians, looking for fruit, looking to see what we have been doing, what we have been contributing to the cause of Christ. And for many Christians, the Bible is would have us to know that he's finding many Christians fruitless, and many Christians are found wanting. Now, I want to address the issue as to what is it that we can be doing, because I want to be as practical as I can this afternoon. God expects us to be bearing fruit. Now, what is it? What kind of fruit is the Lord looking for? When he looks at your life and my life, what is he looking for? First of all, he has a right to look for fruit. He has a right. You know, if a man employs you in his business, he expects to see you being productive. Any unproductive employee sooner or later is going to be dismissed in no uncertain manner. The fact of the matter is that because we have been grafted into the family of God, because we have been privileged to be placed in the family of God, God has a right to expect productivity from us. He expects it. And so the question then is, what kind of fruit is he looking for? Galatians 5, quickly. Galatians chapter 5. I look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithful, it says. Gentleness, self-control, and again, such, he says, there is no law. In other words, what he's looking for are not just fruits, but fruits of change. In other words, if we were unloving before, if we were choosy in who we loved before, now that we are in that relationship with God, a part of the fruit that God expects of us is that we will have an unconditional love for folks around us. Now, we live in a world where people are quite choosy who they love. And they will love those who will love them back. They will love those who can assist them if they need assistance. But here the Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is unconditional love. It means, therefore, that if there's someone who is not of your caliber, if there's someone who's not of your social standing, if there's someone who is not of your educational standing, God expects us as Christians to still demonstrate that unconditional love. Christians must be the trailblazers when it comes to true and genuine love. We must be. Because God, he knows that this world has a lot of talkers about love. One of the most abused words and misused words in this world is the word love. Christians must lead the way as to what it really means to love. Even if it means that we're going to lose some friends because we're loving the unlovable, then so be it. That is the unconditional love that our God expects from us. But one can't really have the fruit unless he first has the root. You can't have the fruit without the root. And unless we are rooted and grounded in the Word of God, then guess what? Our love will be superficial. Our love will be weak. But if we are rooted and grounded and firmly anchored in the Word, then we can have a kind of love that the Holy Spirit talks about here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. We are to walk in the Spirit based on what the Bible says. We are to live in the Spirit, and we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. That means that when the owner comes, God Almighty, and looks and examines our lives, he ought to find love. The kind of love that we don't just merely talk about. But he can see that we have demonstrated this kind of love. But then, the fruit of the Spirit has to do with long-suffering, the Bible says. Long-suffering and all these things that he mentioned. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, joy, and all these things. But look at that word joy. Look at that word joy. For many of us, we are only joyful when certain things are happening to us. But what we find is that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians was written when Paul was imprisoned. Stay with me now. From behind bars, he wrote a book that has more words to do with joy and rejoicing than any other New Testament epistle. But yet still, the man wrote the book from behind bars. How can a man be joyful and he's incarcerated? How can a man be joyful and he's imprisoned? That's because the Christian's joy is not based on external circumstances. It is based on his rightness with God. That when we have a right relationship with God, then we are not bothered by external circumstances. But the Master is coming, and he's examining our lives. What he finds, it is important. God expects results from us, brothers and sisters. And Paul wanted the Christians in Hebrews chapter 5 to understand this. In Hebrews 5 and verse 12, Paul says, listen what Paul says, 5 and verse 12, for though by this time you ought to have been teachers, you still need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. For though by this time, in other words, God expects that when it comes to a particular period in our lives, all of us will have that enthusiasm and have that ability to at least sit with someone, our friend, and share with them the basic fundamental truth of the gospel. Now, I've heard many Christians saying, you know, brother, sir, I don't think I can do this thing. And this thing is not for me. But they can tell you about the latest soap opera. When it started, who are all the characters, who's going to do what next, and so on. But they just don't have it within them to tell someone how Jesus Christ has made a difference in their lives. The Master comes. He's doing an analysis of our lives. And he's looking for fruitfulness. But in many people's lives, he's finding fruitlessness. The God, the Bible says, of expectation. I want us to understand this. That there are many of us who will find excuses for not producing. Just like this tree. This tree could have said, well, I have not been getting enough rainfall. But then the thing about this was that the trees around this fig tree were producing, except this one. They were getting the same amount of rainfall, and they were producing, except this one. And so this tree could have found excuses. But those excuses would not have been plausible. The fact is that we have no excuse to be unproductive. And every one of us as Christians must sit down and, like any business that does a stock taking regularly, a Christian must do a stock taking of his own spiritual lives and see whether or not he is being productive in the family of the Almighty God. Let me tell you this. God has invested a lot in us. He's looking for returns. Did you hear me? He's looking for returns. He sent not one of his many sons, but his only begotten son to die for us so that we could be translated and transferred and transpositioned into the family of God. He's expecting now from us returns. And he has a right to. He has a right to. So the Bible tells us that the owner came and found this tree barren, not producing. And notice what he says in verse 8. He says, I have been coming for 3 years and finding nothing. Cut it down. Cut it down. Now, if you look at verse 8, it says, he answered and said, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Now, this is obviously telling us that God, for us, God will give us a season of opportunity. For 3 years I've been coming. In other words, God has been giving us opportunities after opportunities by which to grow and by which to produce. And if we continue to be unproductive, then the Bible tells us that he will have that tree removed and cut down. But I want us to understand that the God we serve is a God of a second chance. If you are being unproductive now, I have good news for you. That God will give you another chance to begin to be productive. That I begin to look and see, where in the body of Christ can I begin to do things? And I said it this morning, and I'll say it again, that most Christians I know will never ever feel excited about their faith until they begin to roll up their sleeves and work in the body of Jesus Christ. Christianity was never designed to be a spectatorism kind of arena. It is where every Christian comes and gets right on the field and begin to do things that are necessary. So every child of God must begin to ask himself the question, what can I do? What is there I can do to assist the family here at Stony Island or wherever you worship? This is the God of a second chance. Let me ask you this. What if you were to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? And you are hearing those words, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, because you have been non-productive. And then all of a sudden, there comes an intervening voice saying, let us give him another chance. Let us send him back to earth. And let us give him a period of probation. And let us see if he will redeem himself. How you would live your life then, during that period of probation, is how we ought to be living our lives now. I wonder if you're getting what I'm saying. That we ought to live our lives as if we are on probation, because in a sense, we are on probation. What we do and how we live our lives within the body of Jesus Christ will determine what the owner finds when he comes. This is the year of opportunity. The sad part about it is that there are many Christians who normally wait until the start of the year before they begin to write down all the things they want to do in the new year. You know, they talk about New Year's resolutions. What we should be doing is using the now and begin to plan from now what we will begin to do. And as the Nike ad says, just do it. Just do it. And therefore, to every Christian, I want to challenge you. Turn from lingering to laboring. To every child of God, I want to encourage you, turn from doubt to decision. I want to encourage you to turn from complacency to compassion. I want to encourage you and to dare you, turn from inaction to action. Turn from fruitlessness to fruit bearing, from selfishness to selflessness. Resolve in your heart that beginning now, not tomorrow, not next week, beginning now, I'll begin to look at what I can do to be more productive in the body of Jesus Christ. And the statistics will show that oftentimes those who fall away from the body are those who were being unproductive in the beginning. The more productive you are is the more excited you are, because you are contributing to the expansion of the body of Jesus Christ. And this is a season of opportunity. This is a season of probation. It is a season of preparation, and we must begin with great diligence to be productive. But then the master said, cut it down. There's an element of anger involved here. And I would have been angry too. For 3 years, now you tell me, which owner will employ a manager to manage his business? And year after year after year, the business is operating on a loss. And all it does is to increase the executive salary, as is happening in today's world. I mean, that is a foolish way of operating. For 3 years, the master has been coming and finding no fruit. And so this tree was merely taking up space and robbing the other trees of the nutrients. Can I tell you this? Hear this. when one Christian is unproductive, that unproductivity can become contagious. And others tend to fall into that rut. And if you have a group of unproductive Christians, and someone has just been baptized, that person very likely will fall right into that mold of unproductivity. Nothing is more contagious and infectious than unproductive Christians. Because people come in and think, this is the norm, so I might as well just fall right into the slot. But the master was angry. Had every right to be angry. After 3 years, nothing. And it tells us that the God we serve is a God who is saying to us, if there's no fruit, then there's no room. No fruit, no room. And he was disappointed, and his disappointment turned to anger. We must understand. And you know, so many times we paint God as a God of love. And he's a God of love. But the Bible says that God is not just a God of love. Romans 11 verse 22, behold the goodness and the severity of God. That we need to look at both sides of God. That if we remain unproductive, we will sever our relationship with God and we will be cut down. In another parable, I remember back in Matthew 25, Jesus Christ, verse 26, Jesus Christ describes a man who was a servant who refused to carry out his master's will. And the servant was described as a wicked and lazy servant. Those are the very words used by Jesus Christ. For what? For a servant who was unproductive. That's the words Jesus Christ used. And Jesus tells us that anybody who's unproductive falls into this very same category. And therefore, the Christian must begin to look at, how then can he begin to make a difference in his society? If we want the church to grow, then we have to begin from where we are. Begin with our friends. Begin to even empower ourselves with the word so that as we learn, we can teach. I was a part of the Bible class this morning that Brother Jackson was teaching. And, you know, from the little I got, it was such an informative class. Now, I would encourage you not just to learn that, but to let that inspire you to want to teach those who need to be taught. That as you learn, you become a channel of God's word. As you take it in, you pass it on to those who need to hear it. That is how we become productive in the body of Jesus Christ. The Christian, then, who is not bearing fruit, is bearing thorns. Did you hear me? You're either doing one or the other. You're either bearing fruit or you're bearing thorns. And Jesus, the Jews in the time of Jesus Christ, refused to respond to Jesus. But they also went ahead and hindered others from responding to Jesus Christ. And surely, you don't want to make God angry, do you? The Bible says that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. And so what I want us to do is to do a kind of introspection. That when we go home this afternoon, that we sit down and ask ourselves some really serious questions. What have I been doing lately in the body of Jesus Christ? From a spiritual perspective, have I been looking at what needs to be done without doing what needs to be done? Have I been looking at using my talent in the body of Jesus Christ? I've always believed that when God blesses us with a good education, we must use that education to the blessing and glory of God within the body of Christ. So whatever your field of expertise, always look for ways and means by which you can be of benefit to the church of Jesus Christ. God gave us those blessings, not to give to Caesar only, but so that he himself can be of benefit to our education and field of expertise. So here the Bible says that the master came and found that nothing was happening. But look at what the vine dresser said. The manager said, let it alone. Give it another year, and this is what I will do. I will dig around it, and I'll fertilize it, so as to do what? To give it growth, a chance to grow. Brothers and sisters and friends, within the church, and even here at Stony Island, there are many opportunities for which to grow. many ways in which you can grow. And as you look at these opportunities, whether through Bible class or serving or the ladies doing their thing, whatever it is, these are opportunities by which to grow. When I walked into the porch there, I was so amazed by the amount of literature. In other words, it's hard to say that I don't have enough things by which to grow. There's so much literature by which you can read with your Bible so as to grow, and as you grow, you must feel excited about sharing what you have learned with your friends. With your friends. So you are being stimulated now. You are being given the fertilizer. You have been given all the nutrients by which you should grow. God is investing in you as I speak. What will he find when he comes again? Fruitlessness? Plans by which to grow? Or will he find fruitfulness? Will he find fruitlessness? Or will he find fruitfulness? Now, one of the things I need to point out quickly is that during the time of Palestine, back then, fig trees really could be found all over the place. On one occasion, Jesus Christ was walking and he saw a fig tree by the side of the road. Alright, so fig trees really grew all over the place. But here in this vineyard, there were fig trees. But this particular one had all that it needed by which to grow. It's one thing to find a wild fig tree out there, depending on the elements by which to grow. It's a far different thing when you have a fig tree in which it is well protected. It is given all the fertilizer it needs, and it is not growing. And I'm saying, Christians, you are like that fig tree that is well protected, so to speak, and you are given all the nutrients. Begin to grow in no uncertain manner. Begin to produce. Because the Bible says, if we do not grow, John 15, we will be cut down and will be cast into the fire. Into the fire. Are you ready to grow? Are you ready, my dear friend, to grow so as to stay right with God? If a Christian refuses to grow, then believe it or not, he has automatically cut off his relationship with God. If he refuses to grow. So growth now depends on guess who? You. It depends on you. So you look at your material, you look at the lessons that are being taught, you look at the lessons that are being preached, and as you look at them and you write them down and you begin to apply yourself to them, then do a regular analysis. Am I growing? Have I grown since last year this time? Am I still where I was last year? Am I stagnant? Have I plateaued? Am I growing? Or have I lost the energy with which to grow? We cannot afford to lose it. We cannot afford to lose it. I want to encourage us today. If you're going to stay right with God, get on that pathway by which you can grow and become fruitful. The question I want to ask you as I close is this. Have you been fruitful? Do you think you have been fruitful enough and have been contributing to the growth of the body of Jesus Christ? Have you been using your talent? Have you wanted to, but somehow the fear has paralyzed you so much so that you have done nothing? And this is one of the things that many Christians have found as a problem. They want to do things, but they're afraid of failing. And let me tell you something. There's no success without failures along the way. Did you hear what I said? There's no guarantee in this life, except that when you're committed to God, that God will reward us. Try your hand at something so that you can grow. You may not be good at this, but you may be good at that until you find your niche within the body of Christ. And then you begin to become productive. And I can tell you this much, friend. When you look at a Christian who's excited about his faith, he can't wait to get back here on a Sunday. He can't wait to meet with the brethren. For him, the best place to be is right here within his family. Then that's a Christian who doesn't have to say much. His life alone is saying it loudly. He's saying it loudly. It is magnetic. Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5 and verse 16. So if you're here this afternoon, and you feel like, you know what, I have been here for some time, but I really have not used what God has given me. Because of fear, I need more faith, I need more encouragement, I need the opportunities, I need someone to just inspire me. My encouragement is to begin by asking for the prayers of the brethren. And then say, listen, I just don't want your prayers. I want you to help me to find what I can do. So your question should be, what can I do? Not just enough to be, so as to be seen as doing something. Don't just seek to do the mediocre. Give God nothing but your best. So are you here then? Ready to reposition and to re-strategize in terms of the plans for your life? Are you ready for that? And so if you're ready for that, do not begin, my friend, unless you go to God in prayer for empowerment, for courage, for boldness, for discipline, for stick-to-itiveness, that ability to stay the journey, for endurance. This is the time, not tomorrow. So I assume that you're here. And if you're here, let us get on that path by beginning with prayer to productivity for the Master as we stand and as we sing that song of encouragement.
I want to make my home in glory in that land.